Good evening, everyone. It is March 17th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor our healthcare heroes, our first responders, and our servicemen and women. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we start, Ms. Kohler would like to give a little memoriam.
Yeah, I just wanted to announce with sorrow the passing of one of Lebanon Township's finest, retired Detective Lieutenant Stephen Jordan Jr. Stephen joined the Lebanon Township Police Department in 1971 and retired in 1991. And we'd like to extend our condolences to his family. And I don't, Tom, I know you wanted to say.
I just want to add that, you know, he was represented with a full honor with our chief and our officers there, and they proceeded with a full honor to the actual cemetery. You may have known Stephen Jordan. He was at our pancake breakfast, big Dallas Cowboy fan, and he'll be greatly missed. I will say it was a testimony to him to see his family there, grandchildren, and we will miss him.
Thank you very much. So then the first item of business will be the presentation of the minutes, and actually for the committee, some feedback from the last couple of meetings that I think makes a lot of sense. People have a difficult time picking up who's talking at any point in time, and so I think the first time around when we vote for the minutes and the like, if you can state your name and your vote just so that people can start to put the voice with the name, we need to hit that compromise where we're not breaking up the dialogue by every time somebody says something, putting our name in front of it. But I think we can probably try to accommodate that. And for the people on the phone, you'll hear another voice tonight. Our township engineer, Ted Baer, is with us for different parts of the agenda. But for now, first item is the minutes of the regular meeting from January 6, 2021, which was our reorganization meeting. Does anyone have any comments? Or is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
I'll make a motion to adopt the minutes of the reorganization meeting of January 6, 2021.
Second.
Mark Law, yes.
Oh, Mark Wall, Tom. I mean, Tom McKee. Tom McKee, yes.
Bev Kohler, yes.
And is Abe Abakowski on the phone?
Abakowski, yes.
Thank you, Abe.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Abe.
And Mike Schmidt, yes. The minutes for the March 3rd meeting are tabled. We'll be coming back to us. So the next item of business will be open to public comment, limited to agenda items only. If anyone on the phone would like to speak, you'll have to press *6 to unmute yourself. Is there a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only? Is there a motion?
Oh, I'll make a motion to open public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if anyone would like to make a comment related to agenda items, reminding you that this meeting is recorded, posted on the website promptly, and you'll need to press *6 to unmute yourself. Please identify your name and the road you live on. We're not hearing anyone commenting, so unless you're muted, we're not hearing anyone. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. We have a special presentation next on the agenda from the Chevron Oil Company. Jacqueline Krizik, are you on the line? And you'll have to press *6 to unmute yourself, and if you have your co-presenters will also have to press *6. Yes.
Hi there, thanks. I think I'm unmuted.
Yes, we now hear you.
Okay, so there. My name is Jacqueline Krizik. I'm with Chevron Corporate Affairs Group, and we have Rachel Kiefner, who handles the operations and environmental aspects of the project, on the call. Rachel, you might want to say hello.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you. Rachel Kiefner here with Chevron. Thank you.
And we also have Ellen Haggerty from Arcadis, and Arcadis is the environmental consultant who will be helping us undertake this project. Ellen's been on this project for quite a number of years.
Hmm. Can Rachel spell her last
name? Hi, Ellen.
Can Rachel spell her last name?
Yes, I can. My last name is P as in Peter, U-E-C-H-N-E-R.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So we sent along a brief presentation that we also presented to the Wisconsin Watershed Association and others in advance of this project, and I don't know if you all can
yep.
see that now or if you have it pulled up.
We have that with us. The committee does.
That's great. And what I was thinking is that Ellen could present, share more about our project, and I know you all have a number of questions, and we're open to answering those along the way, if that works for you,
yeah.
Or we can go through the presentation and answer after. But I think along the way is just fine for us.
Okay.
So without further ado, I think I'll just hand it over to Ellen.
Okay, sounds good. And nice to talk with you all. I'm actually a neighbor next door in Tewksbury, so may have run into some of you at sporting events or other things. My kids have played on LPAA teams. So. For our agenda, we're just going to do a super quick site history, show you some of the photos of the pipelines, talk about our plan for removing them, and then just talk about some permitting considerations that affect the timing of the project. This site is actually located on the first commercially viable petroleum pipeline in North America, going from the oil fields in Pennsylvania to the Bayonne refinery. The site first started operations in 1887. It operated as a pumping station along the pipelines, and then was also used as a bulk storage center and tank farm. The next slide is just an aerial photo to orient yourselves where the site is. Kind of along the top left corner is Asbury Anderson Road, and then where the yellow circle is Musconetcong River, and the yellow circle is the location of the pipes to be removed. And then kind of the bottom right corner with a red property boundary outline is Musconetcong River Road. The next slide is just, we have a couple of photos here of some of the pipes, just an example of what they look like. So this one, pipe A, is actually a water intake pipe. It's open to the river. It extends about halfway into the river. So the pipes are generally kind of sitting on the bed of the river. Some are open, some have been grouted, and so we, pipes B and C, you can see on the next photo, these are the ones that I think, you know, probably presented the most issues to kayakers. They're a little bit, you can see in the photo, they, you know, sort of deflect the flow of water in the river. So there are four pipes kind of look like this that you can see spanning the length of the river, and the number of other pipeline segments that extend partially into the river.
Could I ask what's the distance between, say, pipe A, B, and C? I'm just wondering, are these all within 50 feet? Are they 100 feet apart? Or do you have any idea?
Yeah, actually the next slide has a figure that kind of shows all of them. So they're all within about 100 feet of each other.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And so this is just kind of a general schematic of how we plan to remove the pipes. This purple shape is the aqua barriers that we'll be setting up so that we can dewater sort of half of the river at a time. So we'll be flushing out, the pipes that are hollow, we'll be flushing those out and containing with whatever contents are inside the pipes. Some of them have been grouted, so don't need that. But then we'll be setting up the aqua barrier, dewatering the water from inside the aqua barrier, and then cutting the pipes right inside the aqua barrier and pulling them out from the banks. We'll be generally taking about 20 feet or so of the pipes that extend into the bank. We'll be excavating those and removing those also. So, you know, if the banks of the river shift as they do over time, hopefully we won't have any additional exposed ends sticking out. There are a couple exceptions to that where the pipes go immediately under a large tree that we want to preserve. And then also where a couple of these pipes run under a small island in the river, they're kind of significantly, they're a couple feet buried under this island, and there's a large tree there that we're also trying to preserve. So we'll be cutting the pipes on either side of the island and leaving those portions in place. But so we'll be working from the eastern bank and, you know, setting up the aqua barrier, cutting the pipes and removing the portions from the eastern side, and then taking the aqua barrier down and resetting it up on the western side so that we can pull the remainder of the pipelines from the western bank. That's kind of super high level plan. If you want me to get into more details, I can certainly do that. I know you did have a number of questions, so we can go through those. I'll just maybe just finish the slides here. We just included a couple photos of, you know, aqua barriers just to show you what those look like. They are filled with water, and they can be kind of dismantled or put back up fairly quickly. We do have plans, you know, if we experience any significant storm events while we're doing this work, we plan to remove the aqua barriers so that we don't cause, you know, too much flow through a restricted part of the river during a storm event. Other permitting considerations, we have submitted an application for a freshwater wetland GP4 and a flood hazard individual permit. I believe you were provided, or the township was provided a copy of that, but we can, you know, provide additional copies if needed. And we will be, because this is a trout maintenance water, we plan to do the work probably in August or September this year. And there are trout restrictions from March through June, and then additional restrictions through the end of July. And then we're also hoping, I mean, we all know New Jersey weather is really not predictable, but we're kind of hoping to get some, you know, lower water conditions, lower flow conditions in the river in you know, at August, September time period. So we're targeting that for implementation. So any questions that anyone has, I can get into more detail about.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a question. With all the pipes, are they going to some smelting plant, or what happens with all the pipe? I'm just curious.
They'll be going to a metal recycling center.
And if you were to find something, this is like the forensic person in me, if you were to find something when you put those aqua barriers up and you get rid of the water, if you find something, anything, I don't know what, but something of significance, is somebody there to collect it or do something with it?
Yeah. And, I mean, we'll be there, Arcadis, and we're also... So there's a licensed site remediation professional who's working on this site. So anything that we did would be done under his direction as well. But we have done some sampling in the area to look at the immediate conditions and don't anticipate anything.
Yeah. I was thinking artifacts, anything that might be in there that could be significant.
Mm. Yep.
This is Jacqueline. I'll just add that some folks have received a request to save a section of pipe, and so we're considering that and just how it might be done. So for our historical purposes, our team's looking at, how to make that happen.
Any other questions on the presentation? And I know our EOSC representatives are on as well. I would, if you're prepared to answer some of the questions, the committee should have that as well. It was in our backs. If you're prepared to answer some of those questions, we can move on to those and then take questions at the end. Okay.
So, I guess from myself looking at this removal plan, and I see the equipment staged on a existing rock rubble wall. Do the machines move off that rock rubble wall? Or they have an extension on their hoe to reach the distance. It seems, and I'm sure this is not to scale, it seems like it's a long reach for these pieces of equipment. I just don't understand, I guess, how this will take place. Because if I look at pipe G and I look at the excavator, it seems like an awful long reach for that excavator to get to. If the dotted line is the excavation area where the pipe is, it seems... To me, it's going to be quite a long reach. I'm just curious how the machines move about and if they're off the rock rubble and the pipe G shows it off the rock rubble. So I'm just curious, I guess, logistically how this is achieved.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think we'd be working around that. I think we'd, most of the time be kind of in front of that rock wall. This drawing is somewhat...
That's what I was wondering.
A little bit cartoonish, mm-hmm. maybe. think, we've got enough room to work around that it's not going to kind of get in the way too much.
And the other question was, on pipe A, that's a water intake pipe. Can you explain that to me?
Yes. I don't know exactly what it was used for offhand, but it's definitely, it's open to the river. There's like a filter bag on the end of the pipe. Was just used for, some kind of water supply in the past when the facility was operating. Obviously not used for anything now.
Okay, and the other four...
Be water cooled.
Excuse me?
Humps back then were water cooled.
So they used that pipe for that.
Okay.
And the other pipes transferred the oil then. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on the presentation, or should we move on to the...
Whose property is this?
Did you hear the question? Committee members asking whose property you're working on?
We'll be accessing the property or the river from two lots that Chevron owns on either side of the river.
The aerial photo with the red diagram, that's all Chevron-owned property, is that correct?
Yep. The red outlined lots are the two that we'll be using to access the river. There are a couple other lots, you know, right in that vicinity that Chevron also owns.
Okay. Should we move on to the questions on the sheet, and then at the end, if anybody has remaining questions, we'll catch those. Jacqueline?
I think that works well. Yeah, okay. Let's do that. How would you like us to do that? On the first one, you have a list of properties that Chevron or subsidiaries own,
mm-hmm.
and we've revised that to reflect what we own, as well as another block. So we can answer that. Ellen, do you want to give an overview of just the kind of what we own properties, and maybe that'll help?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the large property on the Washington Township side, Block 82, Lot 16, that's 111 acres. And then in Lebanon Township, there's, you know, the lot that we're highlighting on that aerial photo, which is Block 70, Lot 28. And then they also own Block 69, Lot 37, Block 69, Lot 38, and Block 69, Lot 28. Those are all, you know, we can give this to you in some other format too,
yeah.
But those are the properties that Chevron currently owns.
And what's the mid to long term intention for those properties?
So while we're conducting remediation of the overall property, while we're looking through that, our real estate teams are evaluating potential end uses. So we're still in that process of understanding potential end uses for the overall site and the properties we own.
All right, thank you. Do any of them have ongoing remediation, either issues or projects?
Yeah, so the larger property in Washington Township, there is an oil recovery system, a skimmer system that's been operating for the last 10 plus years, and it probably is going to be shut down relatively soon. The amount of oil that it's recovering is, you know, really decreasing at this point. Other than that, everything else is pretty much done. We're submitting our final closure reports, this year, and expect to receive closure on all the other areas on site, including all the areas that were investigated within Lebanon Township.
So in other words, they're all...
And just to be clear on the pipeline removal project, is kind of a separate project that we were requested to undertake by the National Park Service. It's not, it's certainly adjacent to, but it's not part of the bulk storage terminal remediation. So it's kind of this courtesy to kayakers and recreators that we're undertaking the pipeline removal project.
And thank you very much for that, doing something that you're not required to do. That's appreciated by our township and our residents. Just to summarize, the lands that you own in Lebanon Township are all clean or nearly, finishing up remediation. There are no open issues on those lands?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. So then I turn it back to you, Jacqueline. Any other of those questions on the list that you'd like to address now? I think some of them...
Well, I think so. You've got, regarding the pipeline, I think as far as the lot blocks, I think we've kind of addressed the ones we own, the fact that we're looking at end uses now and kind of open to hearing from the community, certainly, throughout if there are end uses that you want to hear about for certain lot blocks or areas, you know, I can feed that into our group. But I think in terms of the land itself and the overall project, we might have covered that. I think you had some questions specifically regarding the pipeline itself and the fisheries protection, which Ellen covered at a high level. We can probably go into that if you'd like, just kind of how we plan to do it, or folks can let me know or let us know what you'd like to hear more about in terms of the details.
I mean, I think in the interest of time, we need to keep it a reasonably high level. I guess.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think maybe. Sorry, I was just going to say the one thing that maybe I didn't hit on was just some of the restoration questions. Under the permit, we'll be restoring everything in kind. So, you know, the same kind of material that's currently on the riverbank, and we did the pebble count so that we'll be able to, you know, match the appropriate size material on the bed of the river, and the banks will be restored to their, you know, current conditions.
If Nancy Lawler or Adam Duckworth from RUSC are on the phone, anything you'd like to highlight or ask? And you might have to press *6 to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Mike. This is Nancy Lawler. I think Jacqueline and Rachel and Ellen have answered most of the questions. Thank you for the pebble count. I actually know what that is. that makes things clear, but are you doing anything else in terms of trout habitat? Is there any monitoring that will be going on, or just curious?
No, I mean, I think just monitoring. We need to monitor after we complete the restoration just to make sure that, you know, the feeding takes and the you know, the vegetation that we plant survive. But nothing really other than that.
How long also do you monitor vegetation?
I don't know, Ellen, if we covered that you'd be doing the work during a certain time period to avoid the protective period for fish, you know, game fish species.
Yeah.
So that helps as a first measure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ellen, how long after for the vegetation, how long do you monitor, you know, to see that it took? Just
It is semi-annually for 5 years, I believe.
Right. Okay. Thank you. My questions are done. Right. I don't know whether anyone else is on.
Anything from our engineer that strikes you?
Ted Bayer, township engineer. A quick question. You had mentioned that the bags can be rapidly deflated in the event there's a flood. Is that part of the operational procedures that's going to be enumerated in the individual permit, the FHA permit? Does DEP say, you know, do you have to give them a certain amount of, if we see a anticipated rainfall of X number of inches, that we will mobilize in this, you know, do this by hour one, this by hour two, or is it just kind of left up to you guys to you know, do your best to get the bags deflated so you don't have overtopping and stuff like that?
Yeah, I need to go back and check, but I believe that a certain storm event as being our, you know,
there's certain triggers, you mean?
We would pull the barriers out. So I can't remember what that was, but yeah, we did a whole like scour analysis about how much water, you know, would we could safely divert, and so the storm event, yeah, that would exceed that, we would pull them out.
Great, thank you.
All right, any other questions from the committee?
Hi, Mike. It's Adam Duckworth. I just wanted to say I don't have any questions and overall supportive of the project.
Thank you, Adam. If there are no other questions, thank you very much, Jacqueline, and to your whole team for the presentation and to Chevron Corporation for doing this for us.
Thank you.
and
yeah, sure. And you know, we want to keep the channels open as we approach the fall or late summer, and so we'll be working with MWA and through the partnership to understand the best way to communicate about this, as well as through the township. So, you know, folks now have my email and can certainly, or phone number, contact me with any questions. We're going to be working on fact sheets and other materials as we get closer.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've been very generous with your time. So we'll let you get back to normal business. So appreciate you having us on tonight.
All right. Thank you. As she said,
thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us. We'll drop now.
Back to our normal business. The first item of normal business, somehow related, is introduction of ordinance number 2021-04, Stormwater Management Ordinance. This has come through the planning board, so I'll look to see if Bev Kohler or Abe Babakowski want to say anything. Otherwise, Ted Baer, our engineer, is here. We could turn it straight to him to start the introduction, unless...
I would turn it straight to him. It's very complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I tried to read it, but it was too difficult.
Okay.
I am Ted Baer, and I wanted to just start a little bit of a history of stormwater ordinance here in Lebanon Township. The stormwater regulations were adopted back in 2006, and Lebanon Township first adopted a stormwater ordinance in 2008. Steve Reese was the engineer there, and he put that ordinance together for you folks. Then, I think it was 2015 or 2016, the stormwater ordinance was updated. It was primarily due to the Highlands regulations. The Highlands regulations were impacted it then. And right now, Lebanon Township is covered under the statewide NJPDES permit. They're a Tier B discharger, and that had to do with the requirements of the ordinance. For example, last year, our staff engineer Casey went around with Warren to all the different culverts and other stormwater features in the township, made an inventory of them. That was in accordance with the stormwater permit. So the new stormwater management ordinance is helping to comply with the Green Infrastructure Act of New Jersey. And in general, the purpose of the Green Infrastructure Act is to enhance and promote groundwater recharge and groundwater quality. The state has identified certain areas where groundwater recharge is very important. There was actually a geologic survey report, number 32, which was taken on by the state, and they identified certain areas where groundwater recharge is to be promoted and enhanced. And so the purpose of the stormwater ordinance is to cover projects that arise that will exceed certain thresholds, and they will be required to design into their site plan and stormwater management requirements the features that are going to enhance groundwater recharge, and at the same time and provide pollutant removal. For years, the stormwater, I've been an engineer for a long time now, and when we do stormwater designs, the whole purpose was to reduce the runoff rate. You know, we had a 2-year storm, a 10-year storm, and a 100-year storm, and we wanted to reduce the rate of runoff from that. And that's pretty much why you see outlet structures in detention basins. You know, so the water level rises in the detention basin, there's a small pipe at the bottom, and water flows out, so that after development or post-development, you don't have a rate that exceeded the pre-development. These new stormwater regs, the Green Infrastructure Act, require that, but they also want you to infiltrate more and more groundwater to promote that recharge. So the DEP put together a model stormwater ordinance, and what we did in this one here, it's kind of an amalgam of the existing stormwater ordinances from Lebanon Township that were, again, from 08 and 15 or 16, and the new DEP requirements.
So a couple of things that are important. And the first is the concept of a major development. And this is not new. A major development came into being with the original stormwater requirements of 06. And a major development is a development that exceeds 1/4 acre of new impervious coverage or 1 acre of disturbance. And that new impervious coverage is a net thing. So if you had an existing site that had 10,000 square feet of impervious coverage, you were allowed to put new impervious coverage on up until 1/4 acre, which is another 10,800, so something like that. So you could put in new impervious coverage, but once you exceed that net of 1/4 acre, you become a major project. And a major project specifies certain things.